Podcast on the ones and twos, but actually right here in front of us is my guy C-Cat. Make sure you're tapped in on the YouTube live stream, which is presented by Prize Picks, because we are on the move with Safebound Moving and Storage at the Kaseya Center here for Heat Media Days. We just had Khalil Ware, first round pick for the Miami Heat, pull up. He's doing his media scrum right behind us. Actually, if you're tapped in on the YouTube stream, because he's so tall, he's a 7-footer, you can see him towering over the media professionals here that are lined up to get these interviews. We still have yet to get the debut of Jimmy Butler's new look.
Yeah, this will be the first time you'll see it. It'll be on our live stream. Before anyone can take a picture of it, take a video of it, and post it, it'll be on the live stream. So
absolutely.
Gotta be locked in.
This is going to be the debut. Our live stream is actually pointed towards the hallway here at the Kaseya Center where Jimmy Butler is going to arrive. There's been a lot of anticipation. Obviously, 2 years ago, it was the dreads. It was Rasta Jimmy. Last year, it was Emo Jimmy with the permed hair and like 18 different piercings on his face. We'll see what look he pulls out today. The big changeup for today, though, was Tyler Hero rocking the buzz cut.
Yeah.
The military fade, saying that he's locked in. This is a whole new Tyler Hero mentally this year. He's been reading books, audiobooks too, podcasts. You felt the gravity there in that interview, huh, CK?
I did feel the gravity. He felt like a new man. He's very confident but also humble, so I appreciated that out of Tyler Hero. We're going to hear from him later on in the show.
Yeah.
I want to know two things from you. One, can you say you read a book if you listen to the audiobook?
Yes. In 2024, yes. In 2020, maybe not.
Okay.
We've evolved as people.
What version of Jimmy Butler are you putting your money on that we see walk out through the hallway? What haircut? What style? What do you think you're going to see?
I think I'm going to go with actually a picked out afro. I'm going to go with a picked out afro.
Okay.
I think that would be the wave. That's a little different. It's a little eccentric. It'll get the people going. If I'm right on that and we lock in on this, it'll be almost like exactly how precise I was. But my prediction of exactly what we saw last night from those Buffalo Bills, C-Cat, I don't even like to be I told you so guy. I hate that kind of guy.
You've changed in the past week. You do it all the time now.
I know, but I don't like to do it. I absolutely hate reminding people that I was right and they were wrong. But when the Buffalo Bills came out of the gates this NFL season and everybody was hot on them, they had three straight wins over the Cardinals, which, by the way, they trailed. They trailed the Cardinals and had to come back in that week one win. And then the Bills come back to earth, right? And on a Thursday night, they get the Miami Dolphins. They take them down. That was cute. That was big. Like, I haven't seen the Bills beat a team that has been actually above average. Not even good, above average teams. Between the Jaguars, the Cardinals, and the Dolphins, the Bills have done nothing but beat up on bad teams. And last night they ran into a championship contender, a playoff team, your favorite team, the Baltimore Ravens. And just like I predicted, they ain't had the same stuff that y'all thought they would. Derrick Henry right out of the gates, 87-yard touchdown, the longest run in Ravens history. And they've been kicking since before you were born, C-Cat. They've been kicking for 29 years. Derrick Henry, a 199 on the ground, two tutties. And the Ravens pull away with a 35-10 victory. This was the bludgeoning that Alabama gave us over Georgia, except for the Ravens finished the job from wire to wire. And I just couldn't feel more right on this Monday.
You know, it was kind of alarming to see that the Bills couldn't do anything on offense. I think that the Ravens are going to do what they did on offense against a lot of the opponents they face this year on the ground. When you have Derrick Henry running with maybe 1 or 2 yards before he gets touched, they're going to do that to most of the opponents they face. You're also going to see that really on defense. I don't know if the Ravens are especially special on defense, and they made the Bills look extraordinarily regular.
They did make them look extraordinarily regular, and a guy that when he pulls up, he makes a lot of people around him look regular, and he just snapped us up here for media day here at Kaseya Center, is Jaime Jaquez Jr.
How y'all doing?
Pulling up. No longer the rookie, man.
No longer.
Not a second-year guy. You're pulling up here on Theoretically Speaking. We're actually live on the radio so you know.
What's up, radio? How we doing?
We're live here on ESPN 106.3, and just to kick things off here for you, what was this offseason like? Now you felt what a full 82 games were like. You also felt something that a lot of rookies don't get to experience. That's a playoff series where you're playing a pivotal role. How did that change what this offseason was like compared to last year?
Well, I think this year I had a lot more downtime. I think, after my first offseason after college going into, you know, my NBA season. It felt like just nonstop basketball. So it was nice to get a little break. You know, unfortunately, it was a shorter end than I would have hoped. But with that being said, I think it was still nice to be able to get away and look back at, you know, how long that year was and enjoy it. So it was a good offseason.
Yeah, it was a good year for you, too. I saw you out at the White House one day delivering a speech. I do have to ask you, somebody told how good is your Spanish? How good is your Spanish?
I wouldn't say it's great, but I can say I can get by. Like, you drop me in a Spanish-speaking country, I can make it out. I'll be all right.
Because I'm saying, like, I know you're Mexican-American. Uh-huh. You were in L.A. for college for 4 years. Now you're in South Florida. I mean, you got to pick it up just by osmosis at this point.
Literally. I mean, I'll say this. In Miami, it is spoken like you're in a Spanish-speaking country, like you're in Cuba or Mexico. In California, it is not so much. It isn't as, I guess, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's people everywhere. Everybody speaks Spanish in California. But I guess here it's just it feels like you're in a different country.
They walk right up to you.
Yeah,
people be thinking I'm like, you know, Cuban or Puerto Rican talking Spanish, Dominican and whatnot, man.
Exactly.
Like, and I know they do it to you. They talk Spanish to you instantly out the gate sometimes. My guy C-Cat here, we were just recapping what a wonderful football weekend it was. Mm-hmm. Did you take in any football this weekend? What's your football allegiances?
My football allegiances, I guess I'd have to say the Rams. I won't lie, guys, I'm not the biggest, you know, football fan.
Yeah.
You know, I know everyone's got fantasy, and so I'm not there. I like watching games, though. I love football. I always put on a game. I was at the UCLA football game not too long ago, or actually 2 days ago.
Yeah,
I was there.
Okay.
Yeah, UCLA, Oregon. Unfortunately, we took the L that game.
It's Oregon.
But, yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back, guys. I'm still confident in our Bruins. I saw Lamar Jackson last night, the Bills and the Ravens. He was hooping.
Come on. He hooping.
Stay hooping. Yeah. He's incredible. So, I mean, I keep up when I can.
Yeah.
I keep up when I can.
What made you pick the Rams between the Rams and the Chargers or any other team in California?
Man, because the Chargers, they need to go back down to San Diego, man. That's why.
Get them out of there.
Chargers got to go to San Diego. Let them be with the Padres, man. You know, if it was the Rams or the Raiders, that's probably where I have my allegiances.
I like it. Laid a law down right there. Jaime Jaquez Jr., he spent 4 years in Southern California. He gets to do that kind of stuff as he joins us here on Theoretically Speaking. You got a former Louisville Cardinal now about to ramp up a full season with y'all in Terry Rozier.
Yeah.
He's excited. I mean, how excited are you to get a full season of that guy, the kind of energy, the kind of rim pressure he creates on offense?
Yeah, man, I'm super excited being able to work with him. He was in here every day. And you just see how hard he worked this offseason, man. He's in for a big year. And I'm really excited for him, man. Playing against him in Charlotte, you know, for the first half, I played him maybe like three times in a month. So
right.
I got to get very familiar with his game and then to have him come to us with Miami. It's been great, man. He's a great dude and really happy for him that he's all back and healthy.
Tyler Hero, it took him until year six to go with the buzz cut. He was known for that hairdo, the hairstyles and whatnot.
Man. Jaime.
You got the best locks on the team now. How soon until you get the militaristic look, or is that's never happening for Triple J?
For those of you who don't know, my freshman year of college, I had a buzz cut. And I didn't like it, man. I didn't like it. So from that moment on, when I decided to just let it grow and let it flow.
Here's the rule.
Here
though,
I am.
Are you a cap wearer? Do you wear hats?
All the time.
Okay. When you get a fresh trim up, a fresh chop, how many days do you have to go before you sport a cap? Because my guy C-Cat, he'll come in the morning after getting a haircut, he'll ruin it wearing a cap.
Yeah.
How many days without a cap do you go?
Oh, man, I wear a hat to the wherever I'm getting my haircut, to the barbershop. I wear a hat to
and from?
I wear it there, and I wear it just in case. You know, because I switch barbers a lot, man. I won't lie.
It's a bad hair. You need a backup.
I mean, I just say, like, I keep my hair long, man, and I don't really go get my hair cut that often. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if I get a cut, I'll wear a hat, like, the next day. It ain't that deep.
Why you switch barbers so much?
I mean, I've been moving. I've also keep my hair super long.
Yeah.
So I don't really get haircuts like that often, and it's really just a trim, you know. Like it's not that hard for someone.
Speaking of haircuts, I mean, we're all kind of waiting for Jimmy to walk out here to see what his hair or head looks like. Do you have any insight? Do you know what Jimmy Butler's going to do?
I know you saw him back there.
I haven't even seen him today. I'm going to just go out, and this is what I threw out earlier. I think mohawk.
Mohawk.
Okay.
I think he's going to go with a Mohawk.
So we're my vote was a picked out afro.
Okay.
You went Mohawk C-Cat. We got Jaime Hawkins Jr. here for Miami Heat Media Day. We're predicting Jimmy Butler's hairstyle when he pulls up. What do you think, C-Cat?
I think Jimmy might lean into the prodigal son of Michael Jordan thing and go bald.
Oh,
just no
straight
shot.
Bald. Nope.
Because
no.
He's not, because you can't just, unless can't it's bald
just,
cap.
Yeah, you can't just go bald.
Now, he could, because everything else he's done has been able to reverse back once he feels comfortable.
Yeah.
If he goes with the bald cap that people wear for movies, maybe you can.
Maybe. I mean, he's got.
Maybe that's what's taking so long. We haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, maybe that's what's taking so long. I just feel he's got a lot of. He's got a great head of hair, man. And with all that, you know, you can be versatile. There's a lot you can do. Once you go bald, man, there's no going back.
Once you go bald, you go home. You heard it here. When you go bald, you go no going back. For Jaime Hawkins Jr., coming back into the NBA for year two, you talked about versatility. Mm-hmm. What you work on this offseason? What are you bringing to the table next? Because you got a lot of shot creators.
Mm-hmm.
You also got a lot of versatile defenders. What was the one thing that you want to add to your game?
Yeah, man, I want to jump into that versatile defender area, be able to play defense at a very, very high level, be able to get stops in crucial moments. And then, like you said, we got a lot of shot creators, a lot of guys who can get buckets. And, offensively, I want to be able to try to create for those guys and, great opportunities, give them easier buckets. As well as, spacing the floor and being able to, knock down shots, and they trust in me that I'm going to knock down a shot while they're out there creating. So I think those three areas were a big emphasis for me this offseason.
Last year as a rookie, everything's new to you with this process.
Yeah.
This year, year two, what's different for you in terms of your day-to-day life?
Nah, that's a good question. Honestly, nothing. I mean, I kind of do the same things. I picked up golf was really my hobby.
South Florida man now.
Yeah, golf was really there, but I slowly transitioned because it was getting hard to play because of the rain and it's hot. And, you got to get guys to play with. It's long. It takes like 4 hours. So I started switching over to paddle or whatever. Is it paddle?
I never heard of that. No.
Wait, you haven't? You guys heard of pickleball?
Pickleball for sure. Yeah.
It's not pickleball. It's like a mini tennis court.
Yeah.
But it's inside of like this glass wall, and you can
hold
the ball
mic
off
up
the
to
wall.
Yeah.
Oh, you can hit the ball against the wall. It's like a tennis court.
It's like squash.
Squash?
It's like a combination of squash and tennis.
Okay, but different. Okay.
It's called paddle, yeah.
Called paddle. We got to check into that.
You guys got to check in, man.
You're putting us on game.
Shout out Paddle X, Reserve, Wynwood Paddle, all those spots, man. Check them out. That's where I was this offseason.
Yeah, might run into you
when
there.
I wasn't in the gym, I was there.
Yeah.
I was there. Jimmy plays, too.
Is he better than you?
I've never played him, but I doubt it.
I mean, that's what you got to say.
Hey,
is anybody on the team better at golfing than you?
Yeah. There's guys better. I think Drew Smith, he's really good. I know Duncan's good. I haven't been out with him, though.
It's the jump shooters, man. The jump shooters are always good at golf.
I don't know what it is, man.
Do you turn that competitive fire on and off? Because, of course, this is your profession. This is your game. When you're off the basketball court and you're doing something else athletic, another game, can you turn that switch off to where you can relax and do it, or is it still
full-fledged go? Nah, man, I've been wanting to win, man. I get sick when I lose. So, like, for example, we had a little tournament. It was, like, me, my girlfriend, and then Duncan, his girlfriend, Drew, his girl. We would all go out and play paddle and have a little tournament.
Yeah.
And as much fun as we thought that was going to be, there was a lot of back and forth between the couples, man.
Yeah.
They were getting after it, man.
It gets serious.
I thought I was competitive. Those our girls, man, they're just as fiery as us.
Yeah, and then you do that with Taboo or any kind of game night or anything like that, too? It gets intense.
It gets intense, man. You thought it was going to be a fun double date. No, it was not, man.
Ain't no way.
It was not.
Ain't no way.
Why didn't you get the ball? Why don't you? Yeah,
look,
so.
When your significant other reneges on you,
and
that's when you know. In spades, if y'all are able to get through a renege in spades and see it to the other side, you're getting married. You're locked in.
Locked in.
Jaime, one last one out the door, man. I'm curious because Spo said it at the podium earlier. He said we're relying on, for that likely starting lineup, Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Terry Rozier. He's not saying that that's, in stone, but I know that there's a fifth spot up for grabs. I know y'all don't petition for stuff like that. You do it with your play, but what do you think he needs in that fifth spot in the starting lineup, and what do you think Triple J can provide there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Spo, he's such an incredible coach, man. He knows what he's looking for. He knows what he wants. As far as, starting roles, I mean, I think, for myself, I know I can go in there and fill any spot that he wants me to fill. You know, whoever that goes to, I mean, whether it's, you know, me, you know, Nico was in that starting spot a lot last year. I mean, you know, it's really where we all fit the best. Wherever we can mesh and go from there, I think that's the most important thing. So,
appreciate that.
No, for
hey,
sure.
Enjoy the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Go Rams, and we'll be looking forward to when you get the buzz cut. Oh,
appreciate it, man. you're gonna have to wait a while for that.
Yeah. Jaime Jaquez Jr. right there, Miami Heat forward, second year guy, former first round pick, now turning into a vet here and giving y'all some free game. Once you go bald, you can't go back. So we'll see when Jimmy Butler does pull up here for Heat Media Day. If he does it, if he goes through with the look that C-Cat is suggesting, because I don't hate it. I don't hate the idea.
It would go for gasps, right?
Yeah.
If you like, you set the bar so high
yeah.
with everything Jimmy's done with his style, you got to really do the unthinkable.
You got to. You got to go for it. And I wouldn't be mad at it at all. And you know what else you got to go for? Maybe being competitive in games that also involve other teams on your level. And the Buffalo Bills have yet to do that here in the 2024 season. Yes, I'm bringing it back to the NFL because that's where we started here on Theoretically Speaking. And we're taking your calls on two things. On two things on the Baptist Health Hotline. Number one, your biggest football takeaway after a wonderful weekend that started off with the Miami Hurricanes almost on the wrong end of a Hail Mary, but getting a win against Virginia Tech at home and ended with Lamar Jackson proving once and for all again that he reigns dominant over Josh Allen. C-Cat, I know you hate to hear that, but it's your guy, and he's doing it.
To hear that at all.
Yeah.
Any morning after a Ravens win is a good morning for me.
Yeah.
It was alarming to see that Josh had no answers to the Ravens defense.
Yeah, that is 180 yards through the air, no touchdowns for Josh Allen. And like you would assume that, especially once you get into a position where we know he's throwing the ball, we know we're playing from behind, we're trying to play catch up, you would assume that him and what he showed the first three games would have some of those answers, would have some of those counters, could create some kind of explosive plays, but he seemed a bit hamstrung when it wasn't a blowout. I mean, if that was Lamar, people were calling him a front runner.
Yeah.
It was Josh Allen, and there's probably going to be some more excuses still. I think he's still a good player. I think the Bills are going to be there at the end of the year at some point. I just don't think they're as good as y'all made him out to be.
How much of that is not being battle tested?
Oh, here he is. Oh, he didn't do it. That's the debut right there. Jimmy Butler pulls up, and he didn't go bald. He didn't go fro. He went with the actual typical Jimmy Butler look with the cornrows braided back.
All about bald this year.
Yeah, he's locked in.
That's what I read that as.
You know what? That's what we've been seeing from everything from the Miami Heat so far. That's what Tyler Hero's whole description of his new look with the buzz cut was. All about bald, militaristic, focused, locked in. Jimmy Butler's in album mode. Maybe that rains something favorite for the Heat. Maybe that's good and favorable for that squad down here at the Kaseya Center.
Yeah, teams that the Ravens have played have been far superior than the teams that the Bills have played this year.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. Say what you want about the Cowboys. They're definitely a better team than the Broncos, Cardinals, and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And same, obviously, the Ravens play the Chiefs week one on the NFL kickoff. So the Ravens were battle-tested going into last night's game. The Bills simply were not.
They weren't. And they paid for it, and they'll have a chance to bounce back for it. But now Sean McDermott has got to get back to the drawing board, and hopefully his locker room speech has nothing to do with some of the stuff he used to motivate the guys in the past. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to tap in here on the Baptist Health Hotline on Theoretically Speaking. We are on the move with Safebound Moving and Storage here at the Kaseya Center for Miami Heat Media Day. Jimmy Butler participating in his media scrum right behind us right here. C-Cat here, myself, Theo Dorsey, as we keep it flowing here. And make sure you tap in with us on the YouTube stream at Theo Speaking. It's presented by Prize Picks, and it also presents to you, literally, what's going on here. We got all the action in the background. It's actually kind of distracting for me.
I kind of want to like pick up the laptop we have in front of us
yeah.
that has the camera that's showing everything from the YouTube stream and like bring it to Jimmy Butler and
right.
just give you a live look at it rather than us two chuckleheads
yeah.
talking about NFL week four.
Right.
But that's what football does to you, right? That's what people want to talk about.
It is what the greater public is doing. And is that a fire alarm?
Yeah, the fire alarm's going off right now.
So we'll have to figure out if we're going to be able to stick with you here on the airways. but as we battle through that, because it looks like nobody else is moving or in motion.
We're good.
C-Cat, I am curious for you. That game happening on Sunday Night Football, the last taste of football that we get before Monday morning, and it being such like it was demonstrative what the Ravens were able to do to the Bills. Are you surprised that the response hasn't been greater? Because you know, if that thing gets buried on a Thursday night or if it gets buried on a Sunday afternoon slate at 1 o'clock, a lot of times there's just other things for people to tee off on. But I don't see, at least as loudly, the reaction that I would see from a game that we've seen. Even this year I've seen some bolder reactions out of it. Is it just people looking at it like a fluke?
Fluke wouldn't be the word. I think it was more about the Ravens proving to be who they thought they were going to be at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I think this is more of a pro-Ravens game than anti-Bills game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that the Ravens went a little bit stumbling out of the gates. Of course, they competed with the reigning defending Super Bowl champs, but then they lost the game they shouldn't have lost against the Raiders. Then you also have really nearly allowing the Cowboys to come back after leading by over three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So the Ravens did not show their best hand at all until last night against the Bills at home, blackout circumstances. They pulled out all the stops. Mark Ingram was in attendance. Angel Reese was in attendance.
Yeah.
All eyes were in Baltimore last night. They had no choice but to win last night.
And Miami Heat forward Haywood Highsmith, who pulled up with us earlier, will post that interview to YouTube at Theo Speaking. He said it like he's a Baltimore guy. He's feeling a little bold about those Ravens after last night. They proved to people what we thought they would be coming out of the gates. They just had a slow start. Now they're back in it. Now they're 2-2, no longer with their backs against the wall in a prime position to actually be back in the front runner position in the AFC North. The Steelers lost. There was so much that shook out over this football season weekend.
And you knew a loss like that from the Steelers was coming.
Eventually.
Right? I know we like to talk about how great that defense is, and the defense is great. But that offense left a lot to be desired. Even with Justin Fields not losing the Steelers games, he was really just treading water on that side of the football. Speaking of Justin Fields and the Pittsburgh Steelers, where 3-0 wasn't holding up for too long.
Nah,
4-0 wasn't holding up for too long.
Yeah.
You know, they would regress to the mean eventually, and that started maybe a week earlier than many thought.
The Bills came back to reality. The Steelers came back down to reality. Who else in football came back down to reality? Jump in the chat at Theo Speaking or hop on the radio with us here, 888-760-3776. Who got a dose of football reality over this weekend following so many different results that gave us a lot of dramatic, a lot of flair, but also bigger data points on what we have this NFL season? C-Cat scroll in the chat here now to see what we have cooking. And I'm going to tell you quickly about Duffy's Sports Grill. This is the kind of place that unites fans of all backgrounds, of all sports. A Duffy Sports Grill near you can be the perfect place to pull up during football season, during basketball season, like we're here with the Miami Heat today, or maybe it's just to grab some grub. They got 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day. Duffy'sMVP.com. That's where you need to tap in and become an MVP, a reward member like myself. And then you can start tracking those beautiful rewards as you rake in the 2-for-1 drinks, as you check out the gridiron starters, and also the award-winning burgers and the jumbo wings. Duffy Sports Grill, our game is always on. And C-Cat, the game is always going to be on for a Miami Heat team that eventually is always going to remind you they believe in themselves. A 46-win team from last year. They did get to the postseason by way of the play-in for the second straight year, but gentlemen sweep at the hands of the eventual Boston Celtic NBA champions. We're going to probably get another interview in here live here with you on Theoretically Speaking. Plus, we'll take people's calls on who got a dosage of football reality after this football weekend when we return from the Kaseya Center. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're live at Heat Media Day in Miami. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I ain't gonna cap, man. Like, the Jimmy Butler aura, the way that every single time he moves a finger, moves a muscle, everything in this room kind of shifts with him.
Yeah.
It's real. It's a real thing.
Yeah, like, that word gets overused a lot,
yeah.
But you know when you see it, and we're seeing it, and we're feeling it.
Right. When he walked into the room from that moment until right now, as he's taking pictures, we've watched Bam Adebayo go back that way, Tyler Hero, Eric Spoelstra himself, the mad genius on the bench for the Miami Heat. But as we're here at Kaseya Center for Heat Media Day, Jimmy pulls up. Everybody's expecting a new hairdo. People are putting bets out there on what it's going to be. C-Cat, you said it was going to be a bald head.
Yeah, I took a shot.
Yeah. Still a chance for that if you got some clippers on you. Still a chance.
Take a chance. Yeah. Just do it myself.
If you did it, I mean, I wouldn't. You'd be on your own.
I think people would know my name more so than they did before.
They would.
If I went after Jimmy Butler with like a razor, say, hey, let me just crimp you up.
Just a quick cleanup.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to do that.
You
today.
Won't do it today, no. But you'll consider it for next year's media day.
Yeah.
Now that we've put it out there in the ether.
And now I'm on a list. Now I'm going to be shopping to the door, hand on my chest. Don't let him through.
Don't think you'll make it to the next one.
No.
Here. As we are on the move, courtesy of Safebound Moving and Storage, man, following a epic football weekend, we do have some basketball stuff to hit here today with the Miami Heat because there is so much going on around the league, specifically in the Eastern Conference. And what Tyler Hero said about that Karl Anthony Towns trade to us, the way that he told us, hey, I'm not going to give you my opinion on it. I'm not going to tell you what I think of it, but the Timberwolves got better.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves won the trade by giving Karl Anthony Towns to the Knicks in the East here and bringing in a guy like Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. That was interesting to hear him say. It was even more telling that he felt confident enough to say it with a mic in front of him because the more he listening back to him saying that and then also looking at it on paper, I start to think, man, he could be right. Julius Randle was an all-star. That dude is actually good if he's healthy.
Yeah, and to say that before anything – like actually in front of us, before they play a game together, before they do a practice together, to be able to definitively say that as a hooper, as someone that knows more about the sport of basketball than we do.
Yeah, who has to play against both of those teams.
He was confident enough to say that Minnesota won the trade.
Tyler Hero delivers yet again. Jimmy, I think, walks out of here unscathed, walked right through the live stream. It seems like, we didn't get any kind of hair reveal or anything. They're strictly business here today for the Miami Heat, and rightfully so, a dose of reality that they're delivering to you. And I asked this all before the break, which NFL squad, maybe even the college football team over the weekend, got the biggest dose of reality. To me, it's easily the Buffalo Bills, who got dropped by the Baltimore Ravens 35-10 in primetime. What am I doing here? But let's just talk about the actual on the field play. 43-game streak of not losing by 10 or more points. That's what the Bills had coming into last night. That's obliterated. 41 straight games of scoring 10 or more points under Josh Allen with Sean McDermott. That went out the window. The Ravens had their way. The Ravens were the better team from the beginning until the end, from the first whistle to the final horn. And to me, that was a statement game from the Ravens, but it also was a dose of reality for those Buffalo Bills, who are not the team y'all made them out to be. And Josh Allen, I'm sorry, you are no longer the front runner for the MVP trophy. All right? That's how it works. You finally play some comp and you look like that. I can't be the guy pulling for you to win any kind of hardware, let alone the most prestigious in the NFL.
Yeah, if you're putting Josh Allen to the back of the line until he proves otherwise on a big stage against an actual competitive opponent, I guess you're right. I mean, these numbers are hollow that we saw from Josh Allen on the early part of the season. You know whose numbers are not hollow through the first 4 weeks of the season?
Uh-oh.
Broadway Sam. Sam Darnold. We saw it in the chat. Shout out Devontae. Yeah, Sam Darnold. Beat the Packers yesterday, controlled that football game, was really blowing the Packers out, apart from maybe the last 7 minutes of the game where the Packers kind of crawled back into that one. But Minnesota went on the road and beat the Packers with Jordan Love.
Yeah, and they did so in a way where 5 minutes into the game, it was weird because we had a bunch of games this weekend, which the assumption going in was that these are going to be very competitive games, hotly contested, two teams that are playoff contenders. I mean, I'm talking college football as well. You think about Bama and Georgia, and then three or four possessions in, you're like, oh, my God, stop the bleeding. Like, get one of these teams off the field before it gets uncompetitive, before somebody gets hurt. That's what that Vikings and Packers game looked like in favor of the Vikings early on until they let them back in the game. But I think that gives me even more confidence in Sam Darnold because you get the blowout early. You get the backdoor cover by the Packers where they're pulling up and putting a threat on them, and there was no panic. It wasn't like Sam Darnold threw it away. He was able to guide the plane into a safe landing.
Yeah, the Vikings have beat the 49ers, the Texans, and now the Packers with Jordan Love, which is very important to note that it wasn't one of those Malik Willis games for the Packers. If you were just scrolling the scores, you probably would have assumed that Jordan Love, after that kind of nasty injury late in the Eagles game at the beginning of the season, maybe he didn't play. No, he was in that game.
Actually, no. if I were to see the Packers loss, I would know it was Jordan Love playing because that's all he's done this year so far. And Malik Willis is undefeated. So don't you spit that kind of that word on my boy Malik's name. He ain't did nothing but win in this league.
Yeah, Darnold's got 7 touchdowns his last 2 games and only 1 interception.
Yeah.
You can't ask much more of Sam Darnold. If the season ended today, as crazy as it sounds and as kind of Looney Tunesville it sounds, yeah, Sam Darnold's your NFL MVP.
He is right now. If you had to give the award out right now, it definitely ain't going to Patrick Mahomes, who took his number one target out in Rashee Rice yesterday. You can't really give it. I mean, the Seahawks play tonight, right? The Seahawks are undefeated. Geno Smith has been good. The defense has carried them as well. But Geno Smith has been a really good passer of the football. They're at Detroit. If he has a big game, like a 3-touchdown, 4-touchdown game at Detroit against the Lions team that was, you know, a play or two away from being the NFC champion last year, he can enter that race. It could be a him and Sam Darnold race. But if I were to tell you in the preseason, as we were having all this fun previewing this year, that 4 weeks in we're talking about Geno Smith and Sam Darnold as your MVP front runners, I would have – we should have took that to the bank.
And welcome to the party, Jordan Addison. He was electric yesterday as well. Only 4 targets, 3 receptions, but one of them was for touchdown, 72 yards. It felt like Jordan Addison was all over the field for the Vikings. Also got a couple of carries in that game.
Yeah, carry for a touchdown as well. Jordan Addison looked good. He's starting to get his full slate of weapons back, and it's funny. Sam Darnold was doing this first with just Justin Jefferson. Now it's J.J. and it's Jordan Addison. And guess what? T.J. Hockenson still ain't pulled up yet for those Vikings. Right. They don't have their full entree yet going. And I'm again, you got to be nervous if you're anybody that picked another NFC North team to make it to the Super Bowl.
I'm
C-Cat, that was you. Yeah, you picked the Bears.
Not
a good day to be C-Cat.
It's a good day to be C-Cat. Our Ravens won. The Bears won. You saw Caleb Williams walking off the field after the Bears win.
Yeah.
Ecstatic, double hand, fist bump into the sky. I was so happy for Caleb Williams.
As far as celebrations go, people were trying to tease it. I thought it was cool. We were talking earlier about celebrations, and I hate to take it this way because rest in peace to Dikembe Mutombo. That finger wag.
Yeah.
Elite celebration. Simple, easily replicable. And also, when somebody does it, you know exactly who they're talking about. That's Dikembe Mutombo's signature move, who, again, rest in peace. Mutombo passed from brain cancer. He was 58 years old. We learned that literally an hour or so before we tipped things off here on Theoretically Speaking. But celebration-wise, there's not a lot of guys right now in the league that have celebrations that are you know, that resonate.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Jefferson had the gritty, and he still does it, but it wasn't really his thing. That was kind of a dance move that he continued to invoke. I love the Cam Ward, you know, the cover the mouth and almost like pat a guy on the head move.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really have an answer for what it is, but I don't give a damn because he's a Heisman finalist and he has Miami back, so I don't care what you call it or what you do. Keep doing what you're doing there. Who else has a good one right now?
Well, you think, go back to the annals of history, Cam Newton, when he jumped on the scene, the
Ooh.
Superman, everyone knew who you were talking about with Cam Newton and the Superman.
I thought you were going to go Year of the Dab, which was nice. It was beautiful. It just got a little overplayed.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's a feather in Cam Newton's cap to have two recognizable that you started.
Yeah.
Because everyone kind of adopted the dab and became more than just Cam Newton. But that Panthers Super Bowl run, heavy dabs across the country.
It was 2015. It was the year of the dab, and it wasn't like the dance was invented then. It just was popularized by Cam Newton and his prolific play on the field. Keep pounding.
And there's the Aaron Rodgers discount double check that got co-opted by the insurance company. Like, that kind of made it a bigger thing than it was.
Because it wasn't a discount double check. He
named
it that because of, you know, he got locked in with an insurance company and they were like, this is good for branding.
Exactly. He was just doing like the championship belt crown me, I guess.
What are the best? Jump in the chat. Jump in the chat here on YouTube at Theo Speaking. And you can also call it in 888-760-3776. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. What are the most, the celebrations that resonate the most with you? Let's go current day.
Okay.
Because the Dikembe Mutombo and the finger wag, that is an all-timer. It's gonna live for years and years and years here. That'll be part of his legacy to go along with those 4 Defensive Player of the Year trophies. But also, you think about, like, Shedeur Sanders has the, you know, the flexing of the watch, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, you said earlier, what is it? Like, I just have more money than you?
Yeah, because you said it's kind of similar to Dame Lillard and his Dame Time, where he points at his watch.
I like
that
better.
Makes sense. Dame time.
Yeah.
Game time. With Shedeur Sanders, there's nothing. There's no metaphor. There's no rhyme with the clock. No, but just saying, I have a lot of money.
Yes.
Look at my watch.
Yes, my dad played in the NFL, and he fully has supported my ability to buy this this nice Rolly. I'm not mad at it, but it's nice for him.
Baseball, we got like. It's not. There's not too many. The Soto Shuffle isn't even a celebration.
Soto Shuffle.
Yeah, when he looks at a pitch that's outside, maybe he's being pitched around.
Yeah.
He will look the pitch into the mitt, squat down real low, and slide his feet left to right in the box to intimidate the pitcher. Maybe even show himself to the pitcher.
This is before he.
Yeah, it's not a celebration. It's more of an intimidation tactic.
I like that. I absolutely love that. To do something before you exert your dominance on somebody and then to follow through with it, beautiful. That's like the Patrick Mahomes when he's doing the finger thing where he's up here, which, by the way, he does it all the time.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Patrick Mahomes has this thing. They even put it in Madden, which it looks really weird because of the graphics, where he puts his hand up and he's like almost like giving a gimme motion where his fingers, he's continuously
like,
opening and closing.
Like, come here?
Yeah, come here, almost.
And he's doing that to who?
He just does it up in the air. What he's really doing, he said, is he's calling for his play caller to get him the next play so he can get back out there and do it. But it looks like a little something. And people have started to kind of talk about that as a signal that Mahomes is about to go off. Again, it's specific to him. It's before he dominates you, and that's why I like it. The Soto Shuffle falls right in line with that. Our guy Kate Chumsden, who's filling in for us back at the City Play Studios, he says he has a celebration. Cade, what celebration resonates with you right now in sports?
I think you guys are missing one of the most obvious there is in sports right now. How about the night-night from Steph Curry?
Oh, man.
It got popular over the President's Cup over the weekend. My golf guy Cade, of course we should have known
Dang,
that.
Dang, that's actually, you know what? That might be number one right now in sports. The night-night might be for a current day player because of what Steph Curry did in Paris, right? Because of when we saw him debut it when he was on that championship run, right? And he won that title over the Celtics. It has some staying power. And Bam Adebayo actually talked about it when he was up on the dais earlier here at Heat Media Day. Seeing him do that in person, seeing him do that on the world stage. He was like, that's one of the most memorable moments of my career.
Did you see the copycat move over the weekend? What happened in golf?
No, I didn't. You just mentioned it, and I heard somebody. Yeah, what's up with that?
So the President's Cup was over the weekend. Think Ryder Cup, but it's USA versus international, not Europeans. So
gotcha.
Canadians,
like Swedish,
a lot of
people.
Koreans. Yeah, just kind of, I think, is Sweden in Europe?
I don't know.
I think Sweden's
in
Europe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, of course.
Non-European.
Oh, non-Europe. I'm sorry. Okay.
Non-Europeans, right. International, non-US right. People. So
like Siwoo
Kim. Yeah, could. Maybe, why not? Siwoo Kim was paired with Tom Kim, kind of fan favorites, and this was in Canada, so the home team is the international, so they're getting fired up. USA is always a big favorite in this competition.
Yeah.
They usually crush these guys because, you know, Rory can't
That's
play,
right.
And a lot of the Europeans can't play.
USA.
Exactly.
USA.
So it took them like 7 minutes to find the ball around the green. It was that deep in the rough for this guy, Siwoo Kim. And they're behind in this match. It's coming late. I believe it was on the 16th or 17th hole. And Kim chips it up in the air. Maybe goes about 20 feet. Lands one hop, two hop, roll into the hole.
Ooh.
Chips it in. So they've got the home crowd. Think about a Ryder Cup atmosphere where people are getting amped, excited. Everyone's rooting for the internationals. Everyone's rooting for this guy, Siwoo Kim. He throws the club and runs around the green.
Oh, my God.
With the night-night.
That's fine.
Even though that wasn't to win the match, and they didn't actually win the match,
yeah.
It was still a pretty cool moment.
Oh, he didn't win the match?
No.
Why you waste my time? You just spent 3.5 minutes talking about this guy. It was Siwoo Kim?
Yeah. They
didn't even win the dang match, but he did the night-night.
Yeah.
You can't do the night-night and not win the match.
I think you kind of were so overcome with emotions that was the only celebration you could think of.
Okay. Here's the thing. Like, that's like doing the Mutombo wag your finger after you, like, somebody caught a ball on you. Or I'm sorry, not that way then. I guess you can make it. That's like doing the Dikembe wag a finger, and then you find out it's a PI in football.
I'm thinking Dikembe wave the finger after you deflect a ball. It goes right back to the guy that you thought you blocked, and then he dunks it.
Yes, he still
scores. He makes it anyway.
Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
It is your celebration is negated if you don't end up victorious. And I've never seen somebody hit the night-night and then lose. So to me, you commandeering that move, that celebration, and not finishing the job, I know we're not at the midday midterm part of the show, but I'm giving that a C.
Another one I can think of, LeBron James. He has a couple of them. Crown Me, which I saw, shout out, Mac 11 Sama. And then you also have the, what's the pressure on the floor? What's that called?
So it's the three pats to the chest, boom, boom, boom. And then he's like push, he's high kneeing and he's pushing down for each side. I don't know what he has, if he has a name for it.
I do that sometimes when I'm playing sports, just because it's easy to do when it feels it.
It's a beautiful celebration. That celebration, you feel yourself like you really, you are on top of the world. Especially after the third pat, when you transition into the high knees, pumping down the ground. We're talking celebrations here on Theoretically Speaking, impromptu, because, well, we're at Heat Media Day, and we got off topic. And we have Shane in West Palm Beach. Shane's pulling up on Theoretically Speaking. Shane, we're talking about teams that got humbled over the weekend. We're also talking celebrations. Which way you want to go with this today, Doc? There we go. There's Shane right there. Shane. What? How you doing today, Shane? How you doing on this Monday? You call in and you're not even talking to us.
Hey, come on, man! I had to get my phone right. You know how it is.
I appreciate it. So for you, which way are you on this? Right, you're talking celebrations.
Up, what's up, Shane?
Hey, Shane, we're live on the radio right now.
Oh yeah! I forgot.
What?
No, okay, so celebrations. Celebrations. I got one for you, and I got a reason for it, too. It's not one that's that popular, but you got to give credit where it's due. It's the Waddle. The Daniel Waddle.
Mm. Oh.
I'm going to tell you why.
Wait, Shane, you started breaking up.
Who else can do it?
Oh,
that's true.
Yes. Only he can do it.
That's a great call,
so
Shane.
Keep going.
You're breaking up a little bit. Keep going, though.
If you do something on the basketball court or something, you can't do the Waddle because you're not Waddle.
So that makes sense.
Having a celebration that only you can do and is recognizable pretty much anywhere. You got to give it up to Jalen Waddle.
That's a perfect call. I appreciate you, Shane, because you're right. We talked about things being replicable. There's nobody else in the world outside of his cousins and brothers that can hit the Waddle. And also, it is so endearing to the fans. I do have a bit of secondhand embarrassment for Jalen Waddle when fans meet him or see him on the field and then they demand or ask him to do the Waddle. That's got to feel a little bit weird, a little emasculating. Like, hey, do the little dance. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, it's not the most masculating dance.
Yeah.
It's not really macho.
It's adorable,
tough.
Though.
It is. You know what? It's marketable.
It is.
All the kids can grow up Jalen Waddle fans because they can all do the Jalen Waddle dance.
It's a very easily done dance. It is. My wife, Ashley, she has, like, all of her favorite football players. She only likes them because of, like, their names or their dances. And Jalen Waddle's, like, top three for her right now.
How about this one? And I hate to bring it back to something that I'm into and you're not into. But if I took four fingers up. Actually, you know, all five fingers up my face, and I waved it in front of my eyes.
John Cena.
Exactly.
You can't see me.
But you don't watch a lick of wrestling, but everyone knows that that's John Cena.
That's real. That's pretty good. That's historically great. That's in the Hall of Fame of celebrations, right up there with the Kimbe Mutombo's wag of the finger. And I do think that if there's one that we had to induct today from modern-day sports, I got to go with the Steph Curry night-night. Like, Dame Time is around there, but the problem is he never won, like, a ring or anything of huge substance while doing that, so it doesn't feel as big. Steph doing that on the final stage and en route to a gold medal this past summer, that solidifies it. Now Jalen Waddle, maybe if Waddle does it tonight at home against the Titans on Monday Night Football, maybe he can enter the conversation. Give me a couple touchdowns for my fantasy team, damn it.
Yeah, Tyler Huntley playing quarterback, Snoop I'm in for.
House.
You know, as a Ravens fan, I've been watching a lot of Tyler Huntley, and I rooted for him in Utah when he was in college, highest completion percentage in the country his senior year.
You have a lot of Utah
no
stats
big
and
deal.
Facts.
Yeah, I, you know, my senior year of college, I got obsessed with the Utah Utes. I really loved that team, which was Tyler Huntley, Zach Moss, Julian Blackman, who's on the Colts right now.
Yeah.
And I kind of hold them near and dear to my heart. I bought a Tyler Huntley jersey that I think got thrown out when I moved, and I really hope it didn't.
C-Cat has thrown out his Tyler Huntley jersey, but somehow he still is holding on to Justin Tucker's jersey, the most washed kicker in the NFL right now. How did he do did he get any? I know they had 30.
Not too many attempts last night.
Yeah, I don't think he had any attempts.
He didn't have a field goal attempt
He didn't
last
have
night.
To. That's how bad the Bills were on Sunday Night Football. 888-760-3776. We're still taking your calls for best celebrations current day in all of sports, plus which team in the NFL or in college football got the biggest dose of reality like the Buffalo Bills did last night. And if you commented on those last couple of YouTube videos that we posted talking about the Bills, I made sure in the midst of that beatdown last night to reply to each and every one of you. So thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing. But also, thank you for adding fuel to the fire. You made it. You laid it up. You threw it off the back for the boy, and I couldn't help myself. I do have one place that even when I'm all hot and bothered by the haters and the people that are crowning teams earlier, they always cool me down, and that's EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. EDSisYes.com. That's the place where we are going to be like, hey, look, you can't hide from the heat outside, but what you can do is comfort yourself inside of your house by getting in with a company like EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing.
I've gotten really good at this. I can walk into someone's place of living and tell if they say EDS is yes.
Yeah.
If they're a gold member, I can feel it just in the atmosphere with the crisps as you walk through the front door.
Come on.
I can feel an EDS house.
And you've been. You've been to my house. And what exactly. What was the first thought you had when you walked in?
Burr, this feels like 69.
Wow. Okay, that's EDSisYes.com. And that is exactly what it is. Because that's where my wife likes to keep it on, 68, 69. Keeping it cool, keeping it fresh. I have never broken a sweat in the crib, never even thought of it. Also, on top of that, back when I didn't have EDS and my air conditioning went out and I was stranded and it was late night and the temperature rose up to like 85, 86, 87 and I'm over here panicking and the wife is tripping and I'm like, where do I go? That's actually how I got introduced to EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. That night, I got a maintenance man to pull up on a late call. And I was like, that's the last time I'll ever be in that situation again. I got my service. I got my air conditioning unit repaired that night. I locked in on the gold plan. Two visits per year that come with that, plus a certain percentage off of repairs. And I haven't had that problem since. EDSisYes.com. EDSisYes.com. If you want to be safe, if you want to be cool and comforted, they've been doing it in Palm Beach County since 2006. EDSisYes.com. On the other side, we have the Safebound Get Around, where we get around to the top football games from the weekend, specifically in the National Football League, including the Kansas City Chiefs, where I'm happy. 4-0, it feels good. You know what doesn't feel good? Your quarterback throwing interceptions and taking out his top target. We're theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Okay, let's do wins and losses so far from Heat Media Day as things wrap up here. We were not necessarily the first ones in, but I can almost guarantee we'll be the last ones out.
Yeah, we'll be shutting up. I think we're going to hand us a key and we're going to lock the door on our way out tonight.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have another option because this thing ended like 30 minutes ago and I'm sure staff here is going to be a little aggravated that our show doesn't end until 4.
Yeah.
If anybody is rooting for us to be a one-hour show right now, it's them. But you have to stick around. Wins and losses here. Win, great interview from Tyler Hero. Amazing quote that he gave, and Jaime Jaquez Jr. gave us a great one as well that we'll post on YouTube. We'll actually play that Tyler Hero interview for you on the other side. Loss, we went so long with Hero, six-year guard for the Heat, likely starter, that I think we missed out on the Spo interview because of it.
Yeah, that could have happened. A win, I think our show is spectacular so far today.
Oh, come on. It's cruising.
And the loss was that, like, the meat of the show, talking Ravens-Bills, like everyone else wants to hear about, that's everyone watched last night, happened maybe 3 feet away from Jimmy Butler addressing the media for the first time this season.
Yeah.
So in the background of all those Jimmy Butler audio bites that you're going to hear on ESPN, on ESPN Radio, you're going to hear it across the internet, you're going to hear me talking about the Ravens' defense suffocating Josh Allen and Derrick Henry running for $199. Is that a win or a loss?
I don't know if it's a win or a loss. Hopefully you hear somebody like faintly in the background, theoretically speaking, or something. Like, hopefully, because again, we just recently got the shout out on the Joe Rogan Experience, thanks to Dean Thomas. Obviously, we have Adam Schefter breaking our news about our show expanding to 2 hours recently. We're all over the national platforms, and we forced our way into it here. We're literally, you know, 7 yards from where the scrum was happening. If you're looking here on the YouTube channel right here, you see the backdrop. So it was. I feel bad for everybody in the scrum that they had to hear us yapping, and I feel bad even for the folks that are still left here because it is a – literally, like, it's quiet as hell here. I feel terrible.
I think there's a proceeding going on in the back. Like someone is worshiping something. Like there was a church mass back there. It's that quiet.
Nice. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If there's anything for them to worship, it should be the fact that I told you so about those Buffalo Bills. Or it could be maybe Braves fans celebrating prematurely that their team has a shot here to not only make the playoffs, but also keep the Mets out of the playoffs. What's the situation between the Braves and the Mets today?
So the Mets and Braves are playing a doubleheader today, and they're playing on SNY, Truist Park, at Atlanta. Right now in the bottom of the seventh inning, in game one of the doubleheader, the Braves lead 3-0 over the Mets.
Okay.
So how it works after the playoffs is if either of these teams sweep, the Braves or the Mets, the Braves win game one, Braves win game two, the Mets are booted out of the playoffs, and the Diamondbacks, who are sitting idly by, they are in the playoffs.
So the Diamondbacks are rooting for a split because that's their only way into the postseason?
No.
Okay, keep
going. They're rooting for a sweep. Because a sweep knocks out the other team today.
Yes.
So right now, the Braves are leading 3-0. If they win this game, the Diamondbacks are the biggest Atlanta Braves fan you'll ever see. If the Mets win game one, somehow come from behind 3-0, and the Mets win game one, the Diamondbacks take off their Braves hat, they put on a Mets hat, and they are only rooting for the Mets. The Diamondbacks need a sweep in this doubleheader. If there's a split, both the Mets and the Braves enter the playoffs.
So this is Chargers-Raiders from a few years ago, where the Chargers and the Raiders could have tied, and they both made it, or Colts.
No, yeah, you had it right.
Chargers-Raiders could have tied, and they both made it, but instead, the Chargers called a timeout, the Raiders backdoor and beat them with a field goal.
If they tied that game, both teams were in the playoffs. Whoever lost that game in a win-loss scenario was booted out of the playoffs. Yes,
except for split, they can both make the playoffs.
Yes. So you're kind of in a situation here where if you're the Braves and you are guaranteed a playoff spot with a win in game one, why are you incentivized to try to sweep the Mets in game two? Why are you going to use any of your good pitching?
Right.
Why would you risk hurting any of your players if you're already clinching a playoff spot?
That actually would be – because here's the one drawback to that. If you're the Braves, how heated is the rivalry between the Braves and the Mets in that division? Because if I want to keep them out, if I want to put their front office into a bit of flux, if I want to put some doubt in their own players' heads, why not beat them in a game where we don't need it, keep them out of the postseason, and have them hate us even more coming into next year?
You know, that would be just for bleeps and giggles.
Yeah.
Like, let's just beat the Mets.
What if you do it with the backups? That would be even better.
Exactly. Like, you're definitely – if you're in that baseball game and you're a Brave and you won game one, you're not changing anything you're doing. You're still going into the box with the same approach, trying to line the ball up the middle. If you're a pitcher, you're trying to get the guy who's out in front of you. So that's the thing. If you're a Diamondbacks fan, you're petrified, though, because the motivation from the managers and the front offices of whichever team wins game one
– yeah –
is not motivated to risk anything at all to win game two.
Yeah, they're definitely not going balls to the wall. They're definitely going to, like, if it gets out of hand, they're going to fold quick, and rightfully so, because their fate is sealed. We'll see what happens. We'll get the final of Braves-Mets, at least in the first game here, so we'll be able to tee you up on what you need to be knowing for game two. Is this in Atlanta or is this out there in New York?
This is in Atlanta.
Okay, so it's in the A. So that'll be fun. A lot of good action there going out of Georgia lately. A lot of good games and a lot of good motion. Though that game was in Tuscaloosa, there were a lot of sports bars out in the Atlanta area that were popping. We'll have to talk about something that happened between a couple of friends I have with that game.
We're taking, we're revoking fan cards.
Yeah,
we're not man cards. You know, I think both. We're revoking fan and man cards.
Same time. Double pull.
Exactly.
We'll talk about that and more. Also, we have the Safebound Get Around on the other side. We are on the move. We're at Heat Media Day. Sight of the team chasing banner number 4. We'll see if they're able to pull it out this year. A lot of confidence coming out of that Spo-led squad. And before we go, though, 17th year for Eric Spoelstra. Third longest tenure in NBA history, 17.
I remember playing NBA Live when Shaq was on the Heat and confused as to how young the head coach in the video game was way back in, like, what, 2006, 2007?
Looked like a rook.
Incredible, yeah.
Yeah, so more on the Heat plus the Safebound Get Around on the other side. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're at the Kaseya Center. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.